I have two short readings this morning. The first one is by the Buddha. When a society treats each member with respect, then they will prosper and not decline. When a society protects and cares for the vulnerable among them, then they will prosper and not decline. When a society protects the natural environment, then they will prosper and not decline. And then secondly, from Nelson Mandela, I have walked that long road to freedom, but I can only rest for a moment, for with freedom comes responsibilities. So the title of my message this morning is The Spirit of Democracy. I chose that title some while back when I was still on my three-month epic voyage, when we had no idea what the days leading up to this election would be like, the election itself, and what these last days of waiting would be. And since I got back on October 21st and started to put my mind to this morning, many memories came up for me, as they probably have for you, of the last two presidential elections. And I went down some various rabbit holes with that. So 4 years ago, on the night of the 2020 election, the Reverend Dana Warsnop and I gathered, at that time, if you remember, socially distant and masked in my living room with her beloved dog, Scout, to watch the results, just as we had done 4 years before that in 2016 when I first knew Reverend Dana, just months after she was called to serve our congregation down the road in Ventura. Although the early results in 2020 showed some differences from the 4 years before, we went to bed that night pretty sure we wouldn't know any results for a while. It certainly wasn't a done deal. The next morning, we got the news that the Pennsylvania count had gone to Biden, and we had a president-elect. And at that point, I began to get text after text and email after email with, you know, yee-haw and yippee and general ecstasy. And I, for one, was happy with the result, glad for my trans friends and my colleagues who had been scared for their very lives, actually. Glad for my friends and my colleagues who were people of color and who had been scared for their very lives. Glad for women and girls who now had a role model in the then Vice President Kamala Harris, Vice President-elect. And glad for me that someone who better represents my UU values, especially the inherent worth and dignity of every being, would be inaugurated that January. I was glad for our democracy, but was I ecstatic? No. And I certainly never dreamed at that point of the chaos on January 6th and all that followed, and is still following us, apparently. That's the anxiety that we're all holding together. And places like this is where we can hold it. What I felt then and what stays with me in this moment is how divided we are as a nation. That's not news to all of you, but it bears repeating and thinking about how families and friends are divided. One of the things I didn't get to do on my trip was see my sister Heather, who lives on the coast of North Carolina. I was supposed to go see her for a weekend and then go visit friends in the mountains of western North Carolina, and obviously that got canceled due to the hurricane. But Heather and her family don't think the same way as me. And I'll leave it at that, but it's not been easy, I'll tell you what, because she's hung up on me, and I love my sister. I love my sister, but we just don't have the same life experience, even with growing up in the same house. How did that happen? It began to feel to me, and it still does, that our very democracy continues to feel under threat. And the division is so difficult. But I also believe there's hope. There's always hope, or at least I keep trying to look for hope. As I always say, I'm in the hope business. And sometimes that's hard to do. I remember getting an email back then that I received from Cory Booker that we were in the throes of dealing, and remembering that we were in the throes of dealing with a pandemic then, as well as the divisions in our country. And at that time, he quoted Psalm 30 from the Hebrew Bible, and I'll quote him. "Weeping may endure through the night, but joy comes in the morning." He went on to say, "This has been a long and difficult path. Our nation has struggled. The fabric of our larger American community is worn and torn, and the collective challenges we face at home," he said, "and abroad, grow, and the foundations of our democracy are severely shaken and weakened." This was in 2020. And so, yes, there was joy in the morning. And we can hope for this Wednesday morning, but not everyone will feel joy that morning. Or will we even know that morning? I remain shaken by the route our country has taken these last years, as I know many of you are too, even though I don't really know you, but you're UUs, so I figure I shouldn't make any assumptions, of course. I have to believe, though, that there is hope for a new beginning. And we hope that we can believe in science and kindness and mercy and love for our neighbors. But my sadness remains that nearly half of our country seems to be choosing a path that is not what I was raised to believe our country was about. However flawed it has been, of course, and how much I have learned since about colonialization, the patriarchy, and the arc of history going so far back to more ancient times, as the archaeologists and historians are discovering so much about history that we didn't even know, and about those divisions that go back to the dawn of time, really. My hope is that we will find ways to work together, not only to right the wrongs, but to actually understand why they came, what white supremacy and colonialism did, and what role they had in putting us in the position that we find ourselves in today. My hope, and I will pray with my feet, as Howard Thurman has said, that we know that until Black Lives Matter, all lives won't matter. My hope and my prayer that we know where we have come from, so we will know where we want to go, where we're called to go, guided by our seven principles, and to center love, as we now put it since the new Article 2 bylaw change went in at the last General Assembly. I thought a lot about that, because every Sunday that I was at the Universalist Unitarian Church of Santa Paula, I would look up and see our skylight window, if you've ever been in that building, which quotes 1 John saying, "Beloved, let us love one another. Beloved, let us love one another." That's centering love to me, and that's a real universalist sentiment that's now at the center of our faith. What gives me hope are our congregations and the care and the love we share with each other on this path of faith. I am heartened by all of those, and probably it includes some of you who wrote multiple postcards and letters and to people in Georgia and Nevada and elsewhere in the United States in the UU the Vote effort. And many of you did other things and have been on phone banks these last few days. Because the thing is, as it says up here, we need to vote. This morning I was listening to CBS Sunday as I was getting ready to drive over here, and they say that we are in the world the 31st back from of people who actually vote in their presidential elections. Greece does better than us. Many of people do better than, so we need to vote. We need to get, even if people don't agree with us, we want to get them to the voting or sending theirs in. So yes, we had much more work to do 4 years ago, and we still do, and we did some. My heart is so heavy, and I know all of yours are as well. And I sit with you in this anxiousness. I tell myself, give yourself a hug, because it's really hard. And breathing in and out, as Scott played earlier in the service, breathing in and out, coming back to your breath when the anxiety or the monkey mind gets too much. I sit with you in the anxiousness of the election, but also in the climate justice work that needs to be done that seems to have not even shown up much in the campaign. I know I will be using my spiritual practices on Tuesday, and I hope all of you will too. It could be a body prayer like we did earlier, or just simply coming back to your breath. This is a time to call forth and evoke the forces of hope, the forces of kindness, and the forces of science. And I look for a time when we might be one, as we will sing a little bit later. We would be one. When we can find civil discourse and work towards a way to find a common ground to work on the challenges of our time, which of course are many, and find a new way forward. Indeed, this is another chance to heal America. May we pledge ourselves anew to that high cause of greater understanding of who we are and what in us is true, as the hymn says. May we be one in living for each other and show a new way to a new beloved community. May it be so. May we hold everybody up. Blessed be, and amen.